four, if it's fine. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, April 28th of 2015. The time right now is about 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutabat, Rothlaughlin, Camp, Campbell, and Yerman.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilmember Hanford, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
Yes, thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is a presentation from Evergreen Health. Come on forward.
Where would you like me to stand?
The podium, please, and please state your name and business address for the record. Thank you, sir.
Business address.
And before you continue, please let the record show that Councilmember Davis is here. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric Jensen. I'm the CEO at Evergreen Health Monroe. And I believe our address is 14701 179. But who knows?
It would be at the hospital, yes?
It would be at the hospital. So I'm going to pass out.
Please hand those to our city clerk, and then she'll hand them up here.
I think, yeah. So am I supposed to be changing the slides? Or?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, well, I really appreciate the opportunity to present to you and give you an update on what's going on with the hospital here in Monroe. And how much time do I have?
15 minutes.
15 minutes, okay. I'll do as best I can. So, Evergreen Health Monroe. So, you've probably heard, everybody should be aware that effective March 2nd, the names of the hospital changed, and we changed from Valley General Hospital to Evergreen Health Monroe. This is an alliance agreement, a strategic alliance that we've been working on for the last couple of years. It began with an agreement between Evergreen Health and Valley General that was executed in December 2012. And we are two public hospital districts, so we have similar philosophies, similar missions, and I think it was natural that we look to partner. And we're very excited about the things that we're going to be able to bring to the community. And I'd be happy to answer any questions along the way, by the way. But I'm going to move quickly through some of these slides. What my objectives tonight are to let you gain an understanding of what alliance means between the two organizations, share our vision for Evergreen Health Monroe, describe the health of the partnership and what's coming up, and encourage your questions. So, as I've talked about, we have two public hospital districts that have very similar missions, visions, values, and our goal is to maintain a viable, healthy hospital here in Monroe to serve East Snohomish County and retain access to the highest quality of care and services available to this community. This alliance is only possible is because of the levy that was run back in April of 2013. That levy asked the voters for support of maintaining a full service hospital in Monroe, 24/7 emergency services, and so on. And the voters approved by a margin about 59% yes vote. They said they wanted to keep a hospital in Monroe. And they pledged an additional $2.7 million per year in tax revenue to help support our operations, and that was very critical. And one of the things that was very important during that campaign, we talked about the Green Health Alliance, we talked about what it meant to be a full-service community hospital, and we're on our way to maintaining those services and expanding those services. What's their interest in East Snohomish County? Well, our two hospital districts are geographic regions. They're in northern King County. We're
South Snohomish County, we border each other. And in fact, this is a very rapidly growing area, and everybody's looking to provide more services. We expect to have a large population in our district of about 115,000 by the year 2018. It's just been a natural that we work together. It's been a very positive relationship so far. As I've said, we're going to be expanding access in East Snohomish County to all the network of services that Evergreen Health has to offer. And it's important when employers go out and contract with insurance companies and look to sign up with networks that they have access to a network of both local care, but also access to specialty care. And have options. Not all people want to necessarily go to maybe Everett or Providence. They may want to go to Evergreen Health or somewhere else. We're already starting to collaborate on different areas and providing different types of services. We'll talk about that here. Evergreen Health is interesting. They obviously, people in Monroe, when they go to seek more specialized care than we can get locally, they usually either go to Everett or go to Kirkland. And those are often places they go. But we also, in Monroe, services that were unique that Evergreen Health did not have. So in that sense, we were offering something to them as part of their healthcare network that they didn't have, including we have our recovery center. Our recovery center was very successful. It's a regional resource. And we also have a wound care center that has hyperbaric oxygen chambers with which facilitate rapid healing of wounds. So a number of things that have happened in the last, just in the 2 years I've been here. What Evergreen initially committed in 2012, and now when I showed up in early 2013, they had already committed to putting a new private care clinic in the Sky River Medical Office building on our campus, which used to house our primary care clinic that closed. And so they have four practitioners in there now. They're going to be adding a fifth and perhaps a sixth. In the near future, so they have a couple of mid-level practitioners, a couple of doctors already. So that's a new primary care, and there are advertisers for more primary care physicians. One thing they've helped stabilize obstetric prenatal services here in the community by acquiring Dr. Hopkins' practice, Suzanne Hopkins, who's in the community. Her partner died in 2013. And she was in serious trouble, so they bought that clinic. Then they added a part-time OB practitioner to her clinic to help that out, and they started resuming prenatal care. Even though we don't do OB at the hospital at this time, they started prenatal care there again, which is helpful. They've also, people may not know, that Dr. Jim Swenson's practice was purchased, Evergreen Health. These are all important things because they help stabilize those practices that were struggling. As the hospital struggled, so did they. And so they are in the process of beginning to recruit another orthopedic surgeon to join Dr. Swenson. And pretty soon, in May, Dr. Mike Eigerman will become an Evergreen Health employee. And that clinic will be part of their network as well. So those are all very positive developments. Some of the benefits that are in place are happening. You've seen the new signage. Actually, the signage we have at the hospital is temporary right now. We're looking for approval of the permanent signage. Standard primary care, robust panel of physicians. We are now developing the linkages between the hospital and their specialists to make referrals for them easier. Integrated health record. We're going to be looking at having one IT system, one integrated health record between the two organizations. A lot of telemedicine capabilities is something we're looking to add to allow access to specialists from our hospital to them, without people needing to be transferred to that Evergreen in Kirkland. And so there's a variety of exciting things coming up. Who is Evergreen Health? They're a pretty large healthcare system in my view. They also have strategic partnerships with the Medical Center and also with the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. And so eventually some of those things will benefit us here in Monroe. As a hospital, they're licensed for 318 beds in Kirkland. They have four specialty buildings, 9 primary care clinics, including the clinic in Monroe, as well as the clinic in Duval. They have two urgent care clinics, 25 specialty care practices, and 70 clinical specialists. Everything Health Partners is a tool they partner with. Not only they have employed physicians, but they partner with independent physician groups through Everything Health Partners, who can offer bid on contracts for large groups of employees. And so that allows them to do that. They have high ratings of care. They have top 5% of hospitals with clinical excellence in the country, 5 times, 6 times in 7 years, and they have a lot of recognition in a lot of different areas. And we'll be drawing on that expertise to enhance services in the world. One of the things they introduced at the beginning of March was a 24/7 US Navigator and Helpline with a local and their own number. And so that's going to be available. That's a quick rundown, and I'd like to open up to any questions you may have.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming and giving the presentation this evening, and thank you for being a new employer, new partner here in our community and with the hospital district. Council, do you have any questions or comments? Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you for coming tonight. Just a question about the district, and I know there's obviously public money with the levy, so it was voted, I think you said 2012, to increase the levy rate in our hospital district.
2013.
Okay. How does that work with Evergreens? It would seem like the tax money still needs to stay separate with the individual hospital.
Good question. So what this agreement really represents is it represents a strategic alliance. Because of the complexities of having two different hospital districts, a hospital district cannot just sell our assets to them, because that requires a vote of the public who own the hospital. And so what we've done basically is create an operating agreement whereby our district board, which is 5 members, and they are elected by the people in our district, have through this agreement turned over control of the hospital, both the governance control and the management of the hospital, to Evergreen Health. I came here in early 2013 as an employee of Valley General Hospital. I am now an employee of Evergreen Health, as is the senior executive team at Evergreen Health Monroe. And so we have a new board of directors, mm-hmm. that are governing the majority of the decisions at the hospital. That includes two of the elected commissioners from the district. That includes Tony Ball, the former city councilman, and Alice Cave, who's been a longtime member of our district board. They are now on the new board. There are two commissioners from Evergreen Public Hospital District that are on the board, as well as the CEO of Evergreen Health, Bob Malty. That's my new board of directors that I report to. And so that's where the control has been turned over. The assets of the hospital are still owned by the district. The district board has retained certain rights. There are certain reserve powers that they have in this agreement. So you can't go, Evergreen Health can't sell the hospital, they can't sell part of the hospital, they can't do certain things there without the approval of the district board. And so that's an important distinction. I'm glad you asked that question.
Well, so that brings up another question. So we had a board of commissioners that were elected by the hospital district, and you said there was 5?
Yes.
So, and we've turned over the control of the running of the hospital to Evergreen, and that has formed kind of a joint board with two of our commissioners. What powers do the other 3 have? Because they were elected by our district, so...
The only powers they have
is the reserved?
The reserve powers of the district board retained, which is expenditures over $2 million a year. That's one of them, for example. They have input in hiring the CEO, but not the final decision. They make any decisions on if there's a request by the new board to raise money through taxes, or additional money through taxes, they would have to approve that, and they would have to put that before the voters. That board would have to authorize if there was going to be encumbering the debt of the district. For example, we do have some debt out there that's secured by our maintenance and operation levy. If they want to get additional debt and use our maintenance operation levy to do that, secure that additional debt for facility improvements, the district board would need to approve that. Obviously, the district board would need to approve any changes in the levy rate as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, are there any other questions or comments from council? I see none. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next presentation that we have is from H3O. We have both Greg Dick and also Brad Smith here. Please come forward and state your name and mailing address for the record. And thank you again for coming this evening. We just received information, I guess, mid-afternoon or so, that we are just now handing out to council.
Awesome. I'm Greg Dick. This is my partner, Brad Smith, from H3O Development. We'll pass out the business plan we discussed last month and an updated site plan we've prepared. We'll start with the site plan. When we were in the month of March, we discussed a phased approach to the table park. What we're proposing is in front of you here, both the numbers and the site layout. But rather than coming in with the parking lot improvements, the building improvement, or the building being built, the full dock and the full site, we come in with a phased approach. We come in with a partial dock. We come in with a portable style building, as we discussed in the last meeting. A smaller dock approach, which you'll see here, and then grow into the parking lot improvements, grow into the full size building, the full dock, and then the full grounds. So we want to propose this, obviously open it up for questions, and then review the business numbers we gave you, and review that with you, and then follow up with any questions. So I'll start with the site layout here. As you can see, it's very similar to orientated. This is at the same end of the lake, the end of the lake type park. You'll see the boat ramp to kind of orientate everything there, and the skateboard park we've left in here as holding places and notes. You'll see the existing pump station. The pro shop building is in the existing site. So as we prepare the site, we prepare it for future construction. So in other words, where this building is going to sit, our future building would sit. Where the docks are going to be built, we would expand on the docks in this proposal. We would bring in the full 5-tower cable system and the 2-way cable system. So by no means would the lake change at all. It really is just the facilities or the grounds for the cable system. So I would suggest we do this in phases. Open this up for any questions on the first phase here of the site plans. I know there's a few questions after the last meeting.
Council members, do you have any questions about the site plan? Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. It's certainly interesting, not having had a chance to see it before. I want to make sure the hashes, I was looking for a key. And so the first phase is the hashed area. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
So there's the hashes here. This is...
That would be the existing docks. So everywhere you'd see in the dark would be the water. And everywhere right. You'd see in the light would be the dock. Now, where there is the gray would be the walking paths throughout.
That's what that is. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
But the whole white area would be a dock.
Oh, okay. Exactly. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to get clarity on what I was looking at. Yeah, okay.
So basically the area from where the 5-tower, you see the little boat that's sitting there next to the dock?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
That would be the main start dock.
Okay.
And then the area to the right would be the 2-way start dock.
Gotcha.
So closer to the road.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The Brylands Boulevard.
Which is what we had. Yeah, this one over here is the one that's going to go all the way around. This one is
exactly.
The 2-way. Out and back, exactly.
And then over time, the dock would fill in that point in between. So the pin piles would be brought in for these docks. Then we bring a constructor in to set the pin piles for that middle section. Now, you can see there's a walking path all the way down. So the slope from the building would then slope gradually down to the shoreline.
It's actually ADA compliant.
That's the curved path that we're talking about right here. Got it. Okay, very good.
The elevations would change from the finished plan and being based just a 2-tiered park, so the original building level will be where the building will sit. However, the lower level will actually be closer to the dock level. For now, and that would be something that would be raised up in the final plan as well, just like we have a 3-tiered system that goes down to the dock in the final design.
Okay. And so then a slab goes in there where the pro shop is, some sort of a...
Mostly filled, mostly higher seated with some kind of stabilization.
Okay.
It'll handle the traffic.
So that... Then it's ready. It's build ready when that phase comes. Okay.
Yeah, most likely underneath the dock there will be some type of an enviroblock seawall, if you will, to have placed in to give that stabilization on the shoreline. as part of it, and then obviously filling, pulling down basically fill and bringing in more fill to fill that top level. So it has compaction to the building eventually.
Okay. And then my last question that I can think of at the moment is with the it's called the swale, right? Is that the
bioswale?
The bioswale. And then so where does that fit in?
That would have to be in the second phase.
The second phase, okay.
Yeah. We would deal with the swale and the parking lot together, putting in the driveway.
Right.
As the final design dictates.
Perfect.
We would be cleaning up, however, that outlet area.
Yeah.
As part of the phase one.
Okay, very good.
Taking up blackberry bushes that are out of there now and actually putting up a clean rock filtering it through into the lake. So that part would be improved. The final swale clean out design will drive what you're not going to do.
Until phase two. Got it. Okay. Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis. I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. This may touch on the bioswale. So the retention pond area that you have marked here, I'm reading that. It's hard for me to see it. So that is not the bioswale.
It's the outfall for the stormwater area.
Okay.
Well, I actually thought that's what that was.
Designed to wrap to the west and then back to the east and into the lake, rather than
what this
outfall into the lake.
Okay, but this is where...
But right now, if you looked where it is currently, if you went, I guess, 10 to 15 feet to the west, you'd actually see that's kind of where the...
That's where it is now.
One is now.
Okay. So this is just would be an expansion of that area?
Yeah, if you're kind of cleaning up that area, then actually putting a rock line outfall into the lake.
That's
some filtering process.
That's phase one.
That's part of phase one.
Okay. And then the pro shop is the temporary building or the...
Probably, you'll see this in the numbers, but for the initial phase one, there will be no pro shop.
Okay.
We have just a temporary building on site,
right,
allowing us to sell passes for the cable itself.
So where would so the temporary building wouldn't be there? Wouldn't be at that location?
It would be right on the site where the original, the eventual building will be.
Okay, that's what I was asking. Yes. Okay.
And adjacent to the skateboard park there.
Yep, yeah, right next to it.
Right, and we already talked about the dock.
Skirting and so forth, we'll cosmetically
make
it.
Got it.
Nice look, obviously.
Okay, those are all the questions I've got right now. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Thanks for coming again. I see this drawing, but do you have anything in the documents that list phase one, phase two, exactly what is done, timeline of doing each phase?
We haven't spelled it out in that other than working in the dollars to assess the cost side of it, because obviously what we're really trying to do is get our costs down, initially get the doors open to the revenue. For the first few years, we could then roll that into the final design down the road. So nothing that stipulates that if we could produce that very clearly, we obviously want to answer those questions.
Sure. Yeah, so when you're talking about phase one, though, what are you, obviously, not doing the bioswale, doing not a building, but a portable, doing half a dock. And then phase two would be parking lot, bioswale.
Yeah, so...
When would the building come into play?
In phase two.
Phase two would be building two?
Obviously, the first phase is really doing the biggest part of the grading work.
Okay.
One of the most extensive parts is to actually then bring soils in, compacting and so forth. So being able to get enough space where we could actually do the retention wall and have a space where the structure will go, whether it's the temporary or the future permanent one. And then obviously having at least a nice cosmetic area that accesses viewing and to a dock space that will give us two starting areas. We could not obviously do enough for the piling, which is the second most expensive part of this, to do the entire dock feature. So we really had to cut that back as much as we could to cost save and allow us to get this initiated.
And then by year five, all phases would be complete.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Looking at the sales forecast and looking at the dollar amount, you envision by year five, the whole project would
get
complete.
Right after year four, I have. That's year four, the year four number from the
Okay.
Yeah. And we'd open into year five with the complete.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions about the site plan? Councilmember Gamble?
I was just clarifying, and that's opening year five based off revenues coming in. That's, if I remember from the presentation last time, you're still going to try to get additional investment dollars where you can actually open sooner,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So year five would be worst-case scenario, if you want to call it that, based off just the projected revenues of what you would bring in from the temporary structure by being open.
Yeah, you're rolling those dollars in rather than having to go out and find an investor.
Correct.
Or finance, for example. The revenues created to retain that ownership and go ahead and just pitch the markers.
I just want to make sure that was clarified. I think that's an important piece. You're not waiting on additional investment dollars to open by year five and have a building put in. It's actually based off the projections that you guys are putting before us. All right. Thanks.
Are there any other questions about the site plan? And then we'll go have them present on the financials. Okay. Why don't you go ahead with the financials?
I'm going to apologize up front. As I sat here, I looked at the line for the taxes, and I noticed that the sales tax cells are not calculating correctly. So I'll apologize. I'll send you guys a revised one that has that accurate, because I know it's an important topic to you. But looking at the top page that you'll see here, this is, again, the summary, the roll-up. Everything for us, when it comes to the revenue side, draws off of the numbers for attendance. And you're going to see, over the previous plans that we've brought to you, quite a step back as far as our projection on numbers, and that really comes back to the completion of the park, the ability to draw a lot of people. The revenue, of course, is going to be impacted because of the pro shop, the ability to accommodate large groups, and again, that translates to total attendance numbers, in addition to camps and other things that we've discussed. So not being able to do the full scope of things that we had talked about, but being able to get the doors open and obviously offering cable riding, you know, on a pass basis, whether that be hourly or season. And we would, again, probably take a much more aggressive approach about trying to work the season pass part of that. And after seeing what our winter areas have suffered through this winter, you know, they're probably very, very primed to actually work with us to recoup or retain some of the dollars that they've had for their riders as well. So that's certainly a target that we would approach. And again, I've left in the numbers for high and low below that, just so you can kind of get an idea. Originally, we saw a low number as an expectation of 75 the first year. You know, taking this back to an expectation with what we saw on the Pro Tour event, for example, we were seeing numbers of about 10,000 over the weekend. So I think it's still a very, very conservative and realistic number that we're working with here to try to create a draw. And you'll see that very conservatively roll up to the year 6 to 10 of about 12,000. So I still think the capacity of the park is significantly higher. We have the ability to draw. We want to, again, be very conservative in our forecast, and if anything, literal in our approach to the cost side of things. So when you see the comparison, just know that that was intended just so we could really see the realistic rates of return as we talk to people about this. So translating that to revenues, you're going to see, you know, year one at about $500,000 and then ramping up into year four with a steady growth. And then you can see that increase, that jump up happen at that point, because again, we have those additional revenue sources with the completed park at that point. The ability to draw and really market around that, I think, will be enhanced significantly. But again, it's our intention with this design to still have the elements in place and really make it, you know, an attractive place for people to come and be, if it just doesn't have all the features that we would hope on what happened in the end. What you're going to see again in the breakouts below this, I put the P&Ls so you can see it in the winter months, and I put years 1 through 3 in the revenue forecasting. Primarily, you'll see at the top of the spreadsheet, again, it all translates from the ridership and attendance at the park, and really our rentals, but everything else below that has kind of been zeroed out from vending to, you know, rental, or not rentals, but the group rentals, for example. We would still intend, just so you know, to have the kayaking and paddleboard rentals available through this process also. So we're going to try to keep that and be able to accommodate those.
Excuse me. Council, do you have any questions about the financials? Councilmember Gearing?
Great. Yeah, I just. So you said the sales tax numbers that we're seeing here, you'll send an updated one that will be able to...
Wrong. It should be about 12,000 year one.
That was good.
Sales tax.
A little bit more than that, exactly, yeah. Yeah, so other than that, committee. I appreciate you bringing this back. This is certainly the stuff that I was looking for. And from that standpoint, I'd love to see this on our, I don't know what action we need to take if we're going to move forward. If we can do that, put that on the agenda for next week, I think that'd be awesome. If anybody else is interested in doing that as well. But these guys have been here many times, and if we're going to do this, then let's get on with it, right? So from that standpoint, if we can get updated numbers between now and next week, I'd love to see this on the agenda next week for us to take action on. And we'll have an attorney here next week, too, in case we would need it. So,
a couple of things that I'd like to ask about. Is your debt servicing included? So you've got your P&L in the back. And this is the first time I've seen this, so I'm asking you to excuse me. I haven't had a chance to review the material yet. It just came in this afternoon. I think this is the first time council members have been able to look at it also. I was curious, do you have the debt servicing plugged into your profit and loss projection? The concern that I have being that you do the work, you put in the material, you construct it, you've got a loan perhaps that you've got to pay back if the business doesn't work out. I want to make certain that I understand how the payments are going for the facility in the event that the city has to take it over. I know there's been talk about there being a bond where you'd remove the material. So are those built into the expenses for the project?
Well, they're not, because we're still approaching it from a private investor standpoint, which means an equity share. So
okay.
We're not actually taking any type of a loan or debt
okay.
against it. And again, because there is no ownership in the land, that becomes a very difficult process, and you know, it makes us personally guarantee that. I think this is not an avenue we really wanted to go down in the end. So, you know, we came right down to it. We've had enough interest that we feel like with a smaller dollar amount, we felt strongly we could get, you know, the number we needed to get it out of the ground at that point. And then the advantage, of course, is putting the revenues back in at that point. We don't have to give up that equity, that much ownership position down the road to as many people. It actually becomes a real benefit long term, probably, as an investment. And I think it really came down to a risk issue for the people that we had talked to at the higher number to complete the park right now, because they hadn't seen one of these in the Northwest yet. The seasonal aspect of our location was a bit of a draw relative to the parks that they were checking their numbers against, you know, down to Florida and Texas. So I think it really just came down to them understanding the marketplace and what the capability and capacity of the park is going to be.
Okay, so is it safe to say then that if I look at the cover sheet, for example, under year one, it says projected revenues $524,000, operational expenses $385,000. That the difference there being about $140,000, give or take, that of that $140,000, a portion of that is rent to the city or something along those lines, and a portion of that then pays your investors?
Yes. Well, the investors would be taking equity positions, so they're not necessarily going to take anything in year one, two, or three, and that'll be part of the agreement, is that going forward, we want to roll those dollars into the completion of the project long term.
Everything that comes into it is going right back into it to expand and finish the facility. And then also to answer the question on the bond, we will have a bond. So if the park was to fail, there's a bond in place
okay.
that then would remove the cables and remove the infrastructure of the cable.
Okay. Okay. And council, there are a couple council members that have lights on. I would like staff to review the material and us be able to ask some additional questions before we bring this back. I don't know that bringing it back next week is something that we can turn around that quickly. And I know that there's a contract that probably needs to be revised, but I know that we'd like to bring it back soon, but I also would like to have an opportunity to review the material, so that would be a request that I would have. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Just want to make sure I understand, because when I look at the expense side of it, so where have you built in money savings for the expansion? Is that shown in your expense line, or is that just out of your profit you're going to set some aside?
Retained earnings.
But it's not shown in a line item. You know how, like, we might save for reserve funds for expansion. It's not listed as a line item. Okay, and you're just looking at it out of the profit here. You're going to set some aside. So I would be curious. So what I would like to see a little bit more on that, on phase two, what's that going to cost, and that, I guess, showing that by year five, based on these earnings, that you can pay for that? Because I know you were saying you would hope to do it without any more investment, which would be ideal. Then you don't have to worry about trying to get investment. But, you know, it's not detailed here that this percentage is going to go in to build the building and the bioswale and the parking lot, and that's how we know that by, if we hit these projected numbers, that we'll get it by year five. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just a little bit more detail on, you know, what that phase two is going to cost, and that you'll be taking money out of the profits to set aside, and what that looks like over, you know, I would say probably the first 3 year span, when you're not taking any equity or taking any earnings out of it as a equity owner.
Sure. And I think, you know, we've kind of come up against how much do, how much don't you do?
Yes.
How do you keep it under the bar as far as cost, so that it makes it something we can work with?
Sure.
But yet still satisfy, you know, what the city would like and what
right.
yourself are interested in having out there. So,
right.
you know, that obviously translates to also then what you still have to do later. So, in having conversations with contractors, that becomes
yeah.
kind of gray area.
And building costs expand. You know, there's lots of unknowns, but when we looked at this originally, I think from what I heard from some council members who voted for it, and we talked about this before, that the building and the improvements and that was part of the original contract, was obviously of interest, along with bringing something new to the community, something more for kids to do. I mean, there were lots of reasons I heard that people voted for it. So for me, a little bit more detail on making sure that building and those improvements and those things happen, I think, is important to kind of keep that original intent of the contract. Because I know that people in the public who did not vote for this would ask those questions. Well, we're not getting the building, we're not getting this. So to give them a more sure timeline of this is when it's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, would help. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
I'm just trying to remember from the original contract, wasn't there, it was about, how many days were there, like, kind of, that were set aside, whether it's a fishing derby, there was the Pro Way Tour?
12, I think.
Was there 12?
Yeah.
So the revenue projections, and some of those are kind of prime days, the revenue projections, that's taking in consideration those prime days where you would not be open, correct? I just wanted to...
Fishing tournament, the
right.
boat races, the... And we've found ways to work through some of these events. Obviously, triathlons over by, two good examples, over by Lutt,
mm-hmm.
or peak hours take place.
Sure.
So,
okay.
So obviously, both events can take place.
Sure.
And everything will decrease it.
I just wanted to make sure that's included in the projections.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
The fishing tournaments, pre-seasons, have didn't really affect us that much. It's from other.
Yeah, when you're talking about attendance numbers, obviously, you're talking weather impact.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different
sure.
variables
yeah.
impact. So, you know, the one thing we had to look at was obviously, the bigger the size of the market, and the snow market becomes a pretty good indicator for that. And obviously, we have a compressed 150 days. What kind of draw are we going to get on those mm-hmm. kind of marginal days? And obviously, knowing the Northwest, we're going to get that much more here than they would get perhaps in the South somewhere. So,
totally.
Knowing that marketplace is kind of how we differentiate, I think, a park in the Northwest versus some other places. And that's, again, something we had to, again, target a little bit as to what that's really going to be in June, July, August,
mm-hmm.
based on those different things. If those kids get out of school, for example, and go back to school, these are going to have impacts on those numbers. So we try to take all that into account as we projected the forecasted numbers for you.
Great.
You'll see the red, obviously, is the hot months or the good months for us. Yellow is our shoulder months, and then blue is the
all season. Yep.
And there's, like Brad said, you look at revenue, the capacity of the cable park for 100 people. We look at some of these days, and even during hot months, it's 65 people a day. We're taking into account on Monday, Tuesday. This is our average attendance, which are very, very conservative numbers.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to certainly appreciate the need for staff to take a look at the time. I know I had requests next week, maybe the third week in May or something, so we can talk about that later, but I just want to make sure that I appreciate the need for staff to take a look at it, and it's, we've been doing this for a long time, so if we're going to move forward, then let's do it sooner or later, right? So there we go. Thanks.
Yep, not a problem. Councilmember Cutterback.
Sorry, just want to clarify my last kind of request is, you know, something as simple as a percentage of the profits, not a dollar amount that you're going to set aside, because I know profits will change depending on obviously weather and all that kind of stuff, but even if something was set aside that we're going to set aside 5% of the profit towards a future building, and you just, we held you to that to ensure that there was some money being set aside that was written into the contract for the future improvements. So does that make sense?
Going into this, everything that we're raising for the first 3 to 5 years is going right back into the park. So every investor is on board with that plan.
Okay. So if your profit is $140,000, you're going to set that aside for the building.
So it's back into the
park. So you would say that you would set 100% of the profits for year 1 through 3 towards future improvements.
Yes.
So that could be spelled out in the contract.
Mr. Brazel.
Thank you. So I just kind of want to talk through this a little bit so council can hear. You're going to bring back the amount that it's going to cost to do the initial phase one construction so council will be able to understand what they're getting, because that investment stays, as I understand, when you leave. So the retaining wall, the fill, will have a flat site, build-ready site. We'll have a seawall, as you said, in place, and a portion of a dock. And all that stuff will stay should this project
site
not work out.
Completed.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. And, Council, yes, sir?
As phases 2, 3, 4, as it gets divvied up, that's where it's, you know, as we open up, we might determine that, hey, this site or this tiered approach, which you've seen, we've had the tiered phase in there. That might be the number one thing once we get open. And for whatever reason, that hillside eroding or not draining properly, we can adjust it from side to side, but we'll show you the path from here's step one, here's where we're going to end, and where that varies in between. You know, maybe the parking lot becomes number one over the building. That those stages might change in between.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thanks. I think I'm very excited if you can just spell out those details that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why we can't move forward. Hopefully we can get it all done sometime in May or whatever the date is, and that might be the last time you have to come back. Thank you.
You're here.
Okay, so just to sum up then, we have some information. So Dean is going to work with the two of you to get some additional information in the spirit of the conversation that we've had here this evening. We will need the information in pretty quick order so that we can have a shot at meeting about 3 weeks from today. Council would want to have our attorney present. Our attorney would need to draft a revised contract. Or an amendment to the existing contract, and parallel to that, so in concert with that, we'll have a staff that works with financial information look it over, just so that we make certain they don't have any questions about it. And I would imagine that while putting together the amendment, there may be things that come up where a copy of the amendment might be sent to you for review and comment so that you don't see it for the first time when it comes before council. So to do that in 3 weeks, will you be, Gene's got your contact information and everything? Okay, sounds good. I thank you very much. Council, do you have any other questions or comments? Thank you both very much for coming.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Thank you. Okay, we have two proclamations today. The first proclamation that I'm going to read into the record is a proclamation for National Day of Prayer for May 7th of 2015. Whereas one of our nation's great strengths is the freedom we hold dear, including the freedom to exercise our faiths freely. For many Americans, prayer is an essential act of worship and daily discipline. And whereas today and every day, prayers will be said for comfort for those who mourn, healing for those who are sick, protection for those who are in harm's way, and strength for those who lead. Today and every day, forgiveness and reconciliation will be sought through prayer. Across our country, Americans give thanks for many blessings, including the freedom to pray as our consciences dictate. Whereas as we give thanks for our liberties, we must never forget those around the world, including Americans who are being held or persecuted because of their convictions. Let us remember all prisoners of conscience today, whatever their faiths or beliefs, and wherever they are held. Let us continue to take action within our power to secure their release, and let us carry forward our nation's tradition of religious liberty, which protects Americans' rights to pray and to practice our faiths as we see fit. And whereas annually the President of the United States of America issues a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as National Day of Prayer, therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor of the City of Monroe, Washington, do hereby support and encourage the residents of Monroe to join me May 7th in observing the National Day of Prayer and join the citizens of our nation in giving thanks in accordance with their own faiths and consciences and for many freedoms and blessings and for many freedoms and blessings and in asking for God's continued guidance, mercy, and protection. Thank you. The next one I have is Building Safety Month, the month of May. Whereas efforts to address issues of safety, energy efficiency, and resilience in the built environment give us confidence that our structures are safe and sound, and whereas our confidence is achieved through the dedication of people employed in the building and development industry, including building and fire prevention officials, architects, planners, engineers, builders, tradespeople, and laborers, all of whom work to ensure the safe construction of buildings where we live, learn, work, worship, play, and whereas Building Safety Month, sponsored by the International Code Council, promotes the public safety role that people in the building and development industry fill in ensuring safe, efficient, and livable communities, and whereas the theme for Building Safety Month in 2015, Building Safety, Maximizing Resilience, Minimizing Risks, raises awareness for and encourages safe buildings, resilient construction, fire prevention, disaster mitigation, backyard safety, energy efficiency, and new technologies in the construction industry, and whereas during Building Safety Month, residents and businesses are asked to consider projects that improve building safety and sustainability and to acknowledge the service provided by people employed in the building and development industry in protecting lives and property. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby proclaim May 2015 as Building Safety Month and encourage residents and business owners to participate in Building Safety Month activities.
Wow.
Okay. So here you go. I don't think we have another proclamation for a little while.
Covered a few of them.
Yes, I'm going to have water next time I have to read 2 pages. Council members, do you have any questions or comments on either of the proclamations? Thank you. The next item on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Liz, Ms. Smoot, do we have a sign-up sheet? Okay, so we had one person that was going to comment, and they had to leave, so this is Diane Elliott. She's got some material that she has provided to us for me to pass to you, so I will pass this to you, and you already have a copy, Ms. Smoot? Okay, great. And then the other person that we have who has signed up to speak is Kenny Endelman. Ms. Endelman, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
My name is Kenny Endelman. I'm at 219-149th Place Southeast, Monroe, which is just a little bit past the cemetery and out of the city of Monroe. The first thing I would like to ask you is, sitting over here, I could not hear you speak. And it's really, you have to hear well. The rest of you, uh-uh. So you might want to do a sound check before you start these meetings, or lean towards your microphones or something, because I think it's kind of frustrating to the public.
Right over there?
I'm sitting right there where that jacket is.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, that's what's... On August 18th of last year, I had to call 911 because my husband's heart suddenly stopped beating. I called 911, and we waited, and we waited, and we started chest compressions, and we waited, and we made a second call to 911 to find out that they couldn't get to our house because a train was going by. So luckily enough, one of the EMTs who was off duty was at Seafirst Bank at the bottom of the hill, heard it, and rushed to our house. So he was working on my husband while the others were waiting for the train to pass. I know this isn't a new issue for you. It's an old issue. And I also know that railroads are very hard to work with. But I think it needs to be set on your list of priorities when you do your coming for the next year, is to do something, an underpass, an overpass, a new fire station, let it out to the county. Something needs to be done, because when that happens, people die. So I'm going to really encourage that you do that, that you put together a committee, not necessarily a full citizens committee, because they don't carry the weight of an elected official committee, to put that together to start looking for solutions to this problem. This has been going on for years. It's time to step up and find a way to fix this. When you do this, I would certainly like to check back with you every few months to see how you're doing on this project. If I can be of any help, I would be glad to do that. It's just something that I'm not sure that people moving here would even understand is a problem. We didn't. I checked the comp plan. I checked the hospitals. I checked, you name it, I checked it to make sure this was a good place to live. And it was. What wasn't good was a train running right through the middle of town. So, thank you. And just as a final point, could you guys like put a little something in the budget to fix that smokestack and repaint it out there? That has to be the ugliest thing I have ever seen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Anybody at all? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring?
I will move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you for approving the minutes. Okay, the next item is under new business. This is new business item number one. AB 15-179, authorized Mayor Pro Tem to sign contract amendment with Snohomish County HSD for the 179th Avenue Sidewalks and Stormwater Improvements Project. I asked the city clerk note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting for this item. The reason for my recusal is that I am employed by the contracting party, Snohomish County. My position with the county is that of an employee, and my compensation consists entirely of a fixed salary. There is no contingent component of my compensation package. Person to RCW 42-23040, and based upon my consultation with the city attorney, I accordingly have at most a remote interest in the agreement and am therefore removing myself from participation in this matter. Thank you.
All right, let the record be shown that the Mayor Thomas has stepped out of the chambers. So agenda number, bill number 15-179. Council? Brad.
There we go.
We talked about this before, that we got a grant to do the sidewalk on the west side of 179th from Main to 160th. We developed a block grant program. They found more money up to the end of their divvying it up and wanted to give us more. So now we go up to 160th. Any questions? I'd be happy to answer them.
All right, Councilor Cutback, I see your light on first.
Thank you, Brad. I think it's great that we're getting more money. That's wonderful, because it looks like we're going to be able to do a little bit more, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then I saw there was an in-kind portion that we had of $30,000. So was that with the original $180,000? So there's no increase. It said here there's no increase to anything we're required to do. They're just giving us extra, and we can do more. Okay. Thank you, Brad.
All right, any other council members want to speak? Councilman Gary?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Brad, it's exciting that we got money going up a little bit farther. I'd love to see it go even farther. I mean, that entire street, you know, as we're talking about, you know, kids and just, I mean, obviously that's the goal. Remind me, how much is actually right of way that the city can put a sidewalk on in any given person's yard? Moving along, is it?
It depends on where you are.
So it's not like not uniform. Okay, I was thinking it was uniform. Okay, so is there a? So it's just not uniform on 179th, or it's not uniform like I mean, there's like a planter strip in a neighborhood, that type of a thing?
Yeah, it depends where you are. It's different all over the city. 179th in particular was actually started out with just the pavement, and back in early 90s, we got some more to do the, you know, paths on both sides.
Right.
Just outside the, power poles is where the current right-of-way is.
Got it, okay.
Except for where some short plots have been done, then it got wider.
Okay.
When the short plots were done, they dedicated right away to us. So it depends whether there's been a short plot done or not.
Okay.
So like the corner of 160th and 179th has additional right away because that was a short plot a while ago. And then, but like across the street going north, there's no extra right away because there's a short plot done.
Okay. The houses that have been there previous to that, exactly. Okay. And we chose the west side because that was better than...
Because there's more sidewalk already there.
And it just made sense to continue up.
Yeah.
So just visually, let's say that it eventually did go all the way up. Is this going to end up doing this? Or
The sidewalk's going to go...
We have enough right-of-way where we need it, where if it went all the way to 154th...
We just have to buy more right-of-way.
I see.
Adjacent properties that don't have the additional right-of-way.
I'm just thinking the visual of having it go all the way up and how great that would look, but it would be, we would be able to have it have a straight thing. Great, I appreciate it. All right, thank you very much.
All right, any other council members have a comment? Councilmember Cutterback.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the contract amendment with Snohomish County SHD for the 179th Avenue Sidewalks and Stormwater Improvements Project, and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary are appropriate.
Second.
Okay, let the record show that Councilmember Cutterback made the motion as listed, seconded by Councilmember Camp. Just a point of clarification, it's Snohomish County HSD.
Is that what I said? No.
You switched the letters, but I know that's what you meant, for the record.
That is what I meant.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Hanford, your light's on.
Yeah, thank you. The lady that spoke just now dropped me a note.
Okay.
That said that she forgot to mention that her husband died. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I thought that was pertinent to the conversation. So. Let the record show.
Can you pass that around here so that I can give that to Ms. Smoot, please? Okay. The next item that we have on our agenda is new business number 2. This is AB 15180, discussion state legislative lobbying services. And Mr. Brazel, is this you?
Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
This was discussed several weeks ago by the council and most recently at the council committee level. And we, at that point, kind of reviewed what the city of Federal Way had done in the past and the city of Kelso, looked at their RFPs, and at that point in time, the legislative committee felt that it was prudent to go forward with the RFP process, that would work best for the city of Monroe, and we kind of felt that qualifications, past experience, what type of receives various cities have been awarded or whatever from the lobbyists, that those type of details would be included in the RFP. I'm trying to think. I think that was about the main issues that were discussed at the committee level. This evening, I would like to just get kind of direction from council, if that's the direction they would like to go. We can start putting together an RFP. At this time, we wouldn't be making any budget decisions or anything like that. Just get consensus that council is interested in moving in this direction, and if this is the process they would like to see. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble, and then Councilmember Gehring, and then Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, absolutely would like to see something. I also maybe would like to add it to the chair would be as far as in the finance committee meeting that's next week, if it does come out of here, the direction is to move forward in that way, then maybe some sort of idea of where we're ballpark, where we're looking at impact to budget.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Yeah, certainly Finance Committee, and if not next week, then June for sure. I'm certainly in favor of going forward with the RFP process. We see the different things that we get back, and I'm assuming when you get one of those responses back, there's going to be some sort of a here's how much we cost type thing in their response, at which time we would be able to say a great time for the Finance Committee to look at it to see what we can do there. So, I think we should move forward with the process and see what we get back. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
Yeah, just to reiterate, we did look at this last week at the Legislative Committee, and we recommended going with this route. We've got two good examples here. They kind of approached it a little bit differently, but I think, maybe just a combination of both, and if anybody sees anything that we might need feels more important or less important, we could talk about that later. But the whole idea of getting the proposals and looking at a group of consultants, I think, is probably generally agreed upon, and that's what we felt and recommended in the committee meeting. So, I look forward to getting some more information on a finished product here and moving forward with that. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Cuddeback.
Camp, thank you. I agree. The RFP idea is, I think, the best way, as we discussed at the Legislative Committee meeting. I'm curious about the Finance Committee. Would you be looking for a ballpark figure or an upper end?
You yield for a comment?
Please.
Yeah, basically, be looking at the comparators, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how much are we spending, and are the different cities spending, all that right. type of stuff. And then really be more of a recommendation of, ballpark-wise, what we would be looking for.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Right? Sure. I just want to make sure I understood.
Yes.
I think it would be a great idea.
Exactly.
I see what you're saying. Right on.
So before the RFP would come out, would the Finance Committee bring us this is a generic call at the same time?
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Gene, in the information you sent, the Federal Way, City of Federal Way had documents. There was page 2 and page 4 missing in the... I don't know if anyone caught that. If you go down and look, it goes from page 1 to 3 and then 3 to 5. Was that purposely left out? Is it...
No. They were just probably double-sided and weren't scanned as double-sided.
Okay. So I'm not sure what was on those pages, so I'd be curious to see it.
So you're saying those looked odd?
Well, when you end in mid-sentence.
Oh, that's a good...
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Mr. the Mayor.
He'll be here all week.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We'll get you those pages.
Okay. And then my second question, what is FEDRAC, FEDRAC? Because they had that... They made, in the Federal Way process, they were considering the firm and then made recommendations to council. Do we know what that is? Is it a council committee? Is it
something? Yeah.
Committee made up of.
That's what it looks like.
I would assume so.
Just curious, because obviously that process, they had a committee looking at it, whether it was.
Red nose.
Mr. Feilberg.
It's the Finance, Economic Development, and Regional Affairs Committee.
So is it a council committee?
Yeah.
Made up just of council members, or?
It just says reviews the issues and policies related to the city's budget and fiscal affairs.
Yep.
Okay.
The finance and the legislative committee.
That's correct.
Combination.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think it would be. So are you going to put together an RFP and bring it back to us to look at and then get it out? Okay, so we can take a look at what the criteria you're putting in the RFP.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important also to include in there. I think one of them did outcomes, what they can show is a proven track record.
Exactly right.
Over. So that's important to me. But I'm in favor of moving forward also and
seeing what we get and put in. I like the timeline of the federal way of starting that whole process in summer and then getting someone on by October, you know, obviously mm-hmm. before the session starts, that kind of process.
Okay, so staff will go ahead and blend the two, and then if we would you like that brought back before this body to go over the draft RFP, or would you like that brought before the committee to go over and then brought before this body? How would you prefer to do that?
I'd like it brought. Okay. Just as we did with the real estate agent, it was brought back before the whole.
So that's what we'll do. So we'll bring that back forward, and we'll go ahead and discuss where we'll put that on the extended agenda when we get there in just a few minutes, I think, on the agenda. Does that sound good? Okay. All right. Anything else for that item? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to unfinished business. Before we do that, Mr. Brazel, do you have any other questions about that?
I don't.
Okay, thanks. All right, unfinished business number one. This is AB 15181, Discussion 2015 Comprehensive Plan Update. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, council members, what I want to do tonight is just talk a little bit about process and where we are and where we're going to go. And I specifically want to respond to Councilmember Gehring's question from last week. And so just a little bit of background. The Planning Commission, as you know, opened a public hearing April 20th. They continued the public hearing to next Monday, May 4th, to get more public comment, more than what we had at the April 20th meeting. And I'd like to just say thank you to the Monroe Monitor, because in today's edition of the paper, they've actually have a news article about the May 4th Planning Commission public hearing, which is always much easier to read than a legal ad. And so I'm hoping that generates some interest and we get some public testimony next Monday. Where we are, the Planning Commission, again, is going to continue the hearing May 4th. May is going to be a very busy month. The Parks Board is reviewing the Parks Element and the Parks Plan, and they'll plan to have their recommendation to the Planning Commission at their meeting on May 21st. I expect the Planning Commission to work through this during the course of May. The original schedule and the schedule we're working towards to adopt this document by June 30th is for the recommendation of the Planning Commission to come to the City Council sometime in June, for you to hold a public hearing, maybe two public hearings in June, and for the actual adoption of the document June 30th. Now, the question that Councilmember Gehring asked at the last meeting was, is there an opportunity for an extension? The short answer is no. The kind of answer is this. There are a lot of jurisdictions, according to the state Department of Commerce, that are in the situation we are right now, moving forward with trying to adopt our comprehensive plan towards that June 30th deadline, and there's a lot of jurisdictions that simply aren't going to meet that deadline. So the recommendation that's coming out of the Department of Commerce is that if you feel that you need more time, to pass a resolution that documents what you've done to date and that identifies what your plan schedule is for completion of the process. And it's not foolproof, because one of the ways that one of the items that a citizen can contest your plan is what's called a failure to act. So if you don't meet a deadline, someone could file an appeal with the Growth Management Hearings Board. But the idea behind passing that resolution and adopting your time schedule is basically to communicate to the public, hey, we're working on this, we put a lot of time into this, and this is when we anticipate getting it done. Now, having said that, keep in mind that one of the hammers in the Growth Management Act to encourage local jurisdictions to complete your GMA update on time is funding for state funds and loans and grants. And so two in particular, the Centennial Drinking Water Fund and the Public Works Trust Fund, you're not eligible to apply for those or receive monies from those until you complete your update. But in talking to our Public Works Director, we don't plan to apply for those two particular funding sources in the near future. In addition to that, one of the other hammers is state agencies are supposed to give a preference to local governments that have complied with the Act for other loans and grants related to public facilities. But what's not clear is what a preference really means. So if you go beyond the deadline, again, there are some state loans and grants that you would not be eligible to receive money from, and then you would not get a preference in terms of your application for other loans and grants. So those are kind of the consequences of delay. And what I plan to do is try to lay this out for you in actually writing in one of these future agenda bills. So in terms of what's going on in May also, the Puget Sound Regional Council is one of the agencies that's going to review the comprehensive plan. They review the plan for your consistency with the regional transportation plan. And we've given them the documents, and the Puget Sound Regional Council said they're going to try to get comments back to the city sometime in mid-May. And the state agencies were given the 60-day time period to review the document and to provide comments. That 60-day time period ends June 2nd. But from experience, what will happen is that the Department of Commerce, which oversees the Growth Management Act, is probably going to give us a call on a staff level about a week before that deadline, and they're going to walk through what their draft comments are and give staff an opportunity to respond before they prepare their final letter. So even in May, I think we're going to have a good idea of what type of comments are going to come to the city from the state agencies. And also I've talked about how I think it's important that sometime in May we have a good briefing on the comprehensive plan with the city council, mm-hmm. So you have a sense of what the issues are and what the planning commission is thinking. And from what I understand, the consultant was looking at possibly your meeting of May 12th to do that, which is actually a good time, because I think what it's going to do is give you as a city council a good sense of what the issues are, how much you really need to take a look at this prior to your public hearings, and then get a sense of whether or not you feel you may need more time beyond the June 30th deadline to complete the plan process. So I'm thinking that next week at your May 5th meeting, we'll give you a little bit of an update of what happened at the Planning Commission's May 4th public hearing, and then if the consultant is available, can come May 12th, we'll give you a briefing, a more detailed briefing on the comprehensive plan, and then I'll also lay out what I just talked about and kind of lay out all the obligations and requirements under the Growth Management Act and lay out a path towards ultimate completion. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this point in time.
Yeah, thank you. Before we go on to questions, a few of you, your phones may be vibrating. The first numbers are in on the school bond. They are 61% is what I understand. Cool. So anyway, if your phones are vibrating, that may be why. So let's go through the list here. I had two vibrating. Councilmember, didn't know if there was a problem. Councilmember Camp, and then Hanford, then Gehring. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Just a general idea. I know we're talking about the possibility of a delay. Does anybody have an idea how much work is involved and how much of a delay we may be experiencing, we could experience? Any rule of thumb? Any ideas? Past June 30th?
Sorry, I missed the question.
Well, I think the question was, how much of a delay do you think you'll be experiencing?
I'm just curious about the amount of work that's left and whether, if we experience a delay, if there's just a general idea of how much of a delay we're looking at, 6 months, a month.
Well, that part of the reason I think it's important for you to get a good briefing on the comprehensive plan in May is that you're going to get a sense of how comfortable you are with the document at that point in time.
All right.
Because the level of comfort that you have, I think, is going to give a sense of whether or not you can move forward and adopt the plan by June 30th, or whether you do feel like you need more time. That's why I think that briefing is important.
So this really isn't a staff opinion that we may be running late. It's more of a general counsel decision from one person.
And to some extent, by May 12th, I'm going to have a little better idea of how much time the Planning Commission feels it's going to need before it makes its recommendation.
Okay. That answers it. Thank you.
All right. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. So, just to clarify, we're having two public hearings for the Planning Commission. And we're talking about another one or two for council as well? That's what it sounded like you said?
Well, yes, actually there's one public hearing with the Planning Commission, only to the extent that they opened a public hearing and they continued it. So technically it's one public hearing that was continued.
Thank you.
The number of hearings before the council, what I had saw that was programmed was two, but you don't have to hold two.
And that's my question, is how many public hearings do we have to have, and will that help us with our timeline not pushing things out farther and farther.
I think you should at least hold one public hearing. You don't need to hold two public hearings. And you can almost do what the Planning Commission did. If you held one public hearing and you had a lot of testimony and you wanted to continue it, you could certainly do that. But I think you could certainly just one public hearing.
Sure.
Is fine.
Okay, I would think one is enough. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I really appreciate the update and getting that question answered. Obviously, we'll want to try and meet the June 30th date, if at all possible. Passing a resolution seems like at least having that in our pocket. If there's something that, you know, or like we're just, you know, even if we just need like another month, you know, I mean, I don't see that as too much of an issue. I mean, as far as, you know, not getting grants and things like that. I mean, we're, and the resolution says, hey, we're working on this. So I do appreciate that option. It's, you know, just that, it's that once every 10-year thing. It's important, and let's get it right. And if it's not going to put us in too much jeopardy of missing out on stuff, then, you know, let's do it right. But certainly the 6-month thing seems a little bit long, but, you know, even a month might help us out. And if we can, you know, public hearing, if we need to extend it out, then I think that's great. We definitely need to have one. But just make sure the Planning Commission has enough time to look at it to actually give us, you know, a full recommendation, and then we have enough time to look at it to, mm-hmm. you know, for that final thing. I just think it's important that we are comfortable with what's in it. Once every 10-year process, it's our comp plan. From that standpoint, so I just want to say again, thanks for following up on that and getting that information. I feel better knowing that we can. Yes, we want to do June 30th, but if we need a little extra time, then we've got a way to do that to show that we're making progress. So thank you.
Do we have anything? We don't have anything right now that we lose grant money on. Like, we've got Turney Place right now that we have funding for to construct. We wouldn't lose out on things that we've already been awarded. Is that correct?
No, because actually the deadline is June 30th. Mm-hmm. So you haven't crossed that line.
If we cross that line, we're not going to lose money that we've already been awarded.
The act is more towards making applications.
Yeah.
Right.
Which we could just
right.
do a little later.
Which is why you said that if we're not planning on applying for anything in the 2 to 6, you know, the 1 to 6 month range, we're, that, right. that's the issue. It's not losing money that we already have allocated to us.
Correct.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring?
Sorry, yeah, I just have one more question. So the consultant, does he need to come all the way out? Could we do it, you know, over the phone, save some of his time? I know he's coming from Spokane, right? Do we need to have him in person? I was just thinking of saving some time and there as well. I mean, we can have him here if he can come, but everyone, we do over the phone, accomplish the same thing. I'm just, you know.
I'll find out. I actually think it's more effective to do it in person.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. But I can ask the question. And I can reconfirm that they're actually on target to do this on May 12th.
Okay.
Because that was the schedule I had seen.
I mean, if it's something, you know, if we're wanting May 12th and he can't, you know, then I'm like, hey, let's do it over the phone if he can't be here type of a thing, just if we're talking about a schedule. That's
right.
It, so.
And yeah. One other item I forgot to mention. I still need to get my hands around this to some extent. The consultant contract, I believe, terminates July 15th. So if there is a desire to extend the timeline to complete the process, we'll have to amend the contract and make sure I also need to make sure that the consultant can still do the work within the budget that was anticipated, even though the schedule might get elongated a bit.
Okay. More reason to hurry. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Osaki.
Thank you.
We're going to go ahead now into council member reports. We didn't have any committees since the last council meeting, so we'll jump right into individual reports. Council member Gehring.
Nothing tonight, thank you.
And council member Gamble.
I know Mike's in the audience tonight, so I just want to say it came from the fields right before here. I know I've said it multiple times, but it was raining. The fields held up great, and the lids were fantastic. All the kids were nice and dry.
Right.
So that was
nice.
That was really, really good. And then last Saturday was a great great day for, you know, just stepping into my day job. We had I talked about Comcast Cares Day was on Saturday. It was over 90,000 volunteers across the country. I was in downtown Seattle for most of the day, since that's the area I have in the international district, but made a swing by through Monroe, project going on in the Monroe area, which I'm sure Councilman Rasmussen will probably touch on, so I won't steal his thunder. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
Nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yes, of those 90,000 volunteers, 218 of them were at your Monroe Boys and Girls Club.
Nice.
Complete makeover. It was incredible. Interior paint, exterior scrubbing, planting, outdoor gathering area. It looks like a completely different club. It was amazing. 9 straight hours of 200 people just working their tails off. And Monday morning was... man, it was an awesome day Monday morning coming in and seeing those kids and their parents and just watching their reactions and their excitement and the older kids that have been there since they were first starting out and seeing the same walls completely different finally it was just it was amazing and couldn't thank Comcast enough for all the work that they did in our community and one of the cool things about it was there were so many volunteers that showed up for this event in Monroe that several of them actually spread the wealth and went over and worked several hours in the community garden. Moving dirt, pulling weeds, clearing beds, and so it was very awesome to be able to share that with our neighbors and expand on our community that much more. So Saturday was awesome, and Monday was just even more fun. So
nice. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thanks. It's good to be back. Sunday, I want to thank the mayor and Councilmember Camp for attending. We had the grand opening of our treasure chest, the children's clothing boutique for families of foster and adoptive children. And it was a great, great ribbon cutting ceremony. And thank you, Chris. I want to thank the Monitor for their write-up. It's been great coverage, and so looking forward to helping all these families.
All right, let's go on out to staff. Ben? Okay, Mike?
Thank you, Mayor. Last weekend, lots of events, some of them already mentioned. Other parks, too. Saturday was a 5K for Kiki. It was a fundraising run, and I understand that was a good event. The Parks and Recreation, we have food at the YMCA's Healthy Kids Day. And it was a good steady stream of people there. I was there, and also one of our park board members was there as well. So we had an informal survey. We're asking folks, and we'll ask the same questions kind of at other events where we have a booth. So it was great to get some feedback from folks and chat with people. And also, of course, on Sunday was the kids' fishing derby that was hosted by
Tom. That was cool.
Reports from staff, it was a really good event again as well. So this weekend, we can bring staff on board. I know I'd sent out an email about that, seasonals, and also the refilling of the two full-time positions. And I and our department, and I'm sure the community really appreciates that, because I think they're really busy and lots of things to do. So.
Great, thank you. Diane?
Nothing.
Dave?
Mr. Mayor and council members, on the development side, just as an FYI, we have a permit intake meeting this week for Eaglemont, divisions 4 through 8. And I wish I could tell you how many lots it is, but since we don't require pre-application meetings here, I'm just not sure how many lots it's going to be, but divisions 4 through 8 it could be pretty substantial. Along those lines, the consultant is doing work on behalf of Eaglemont. Also indicated that he is working on 2 additional plats that he anticipates to submit relatively soon, including chain link to Saints Division 2. And so the housing market is pretty robust in terms of buying activity. And as an extension of that concept, I guess I just want to talk a little bit about some staffing levels in community development, because we have an employee that will soon be going out on family leave for a 12-week period. And given the workload right now, what we'd like to do is to be able to either bring on a temporary employee or work through a interim staffing service firm, and or work with a on-call permitting services consultant, which we have a contract with, up to about $25,000. And you would see that $25,000 brought back to you as part of your mid-year budget amendment process in June. So I just want to bring that up and see if there's any questions or you have any concerns about that.
Council? Okay. So, Council, we can certainly discuss it in Finance Committee. You can discuss it in Finance Committee and then bring it back here. Do you have a preference? We have a contract, an on-call services contract. Do you have any thoughts right now before the meeting? Yes, Councilmember. Oh, Gamble, and then cut it back. Thank you.
Yeah, there were several options that were brought up there that I heard, and we do have a Finance Committee next week. I don't know if we could get some sort of numbers associated to the different options, you know, there, so we can have an idea of what we'd be looking at the different options. You know, what are the pros and cons to each? Obviously, beyond just the financial impact of the budget, and then maybe we can have some sort of recommendation from there to read out to council. That work?
That works. Councilmember Cuddeback?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. So what your needs are and what you recommend too, and also what the finances. I mean, all three of those. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We'll go ahead and put that on the agenda then for the Finance Committee for Tuesday. Okay. Anything else? Do you, so these new lots you were talking about, is that on top of the 410?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. And Eaglemont... two or three divisions?
The existing Eaglemont is three.
Uh-huh.
But the person that tends to apply has told us is that this is division 4 through 8.
Wow. And how many are...
But we haven't seen it, so...
I know where it is.
Yeah. 4 through 8. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Chief? Okay. Brad?
Nothing terribly exciting. Just if you've driven through downtown, you notice that they're busy working away on the south side of East Main Street. So the project is going along well.
Any complaints?
Not yet.
Thank you, so.
Yeah, Councilmember Camp.
So when's the switch over to the north side? Estimated date?
About 4 weeks.
I don't have a date for you. We're still working with the contractor on that.
Okay.
We're doing some scheduling work with them.
Well, they're going to do the south side from the north side.
No.
Or
no, they're going to go down to Lewis Street next, is the next phase.
So, Main, Lewis.
Right.
They're doing the south side of Main.
Right.
And then they're going to move to Lewis south of Main.
Oh, okay.
And then they're going to move to Lewis north of Main. And then they're going to move to the north side of Main.
Yeah.
And I'll...
That's today's schedule.
That's today's schedule. And... And so I'm going to let everybody know, one of the questions that was asked of me just before this meeting, and if you feel differently, let me know, but I'm going to have staff go out and follow up with the business owners. But we have the ability to take out the remaining sidewalk and then put in the sidewalk all at once, but it would mean 2 consecutive days, those doors being closed, you know, to those businesses, as opposed to one now and then one in 4 weeks. Yeah, and in the interim, there'd be plywood down on gravel. So I can certainly see the benefit to doing all of it at once over the course of 2 consecutive days next week versus doing it once and then coming back, you know, and then putting down wood, plywood, and then coming back and doing it again later. So what I've asked staff to do is to follow up with the businesses tomorrow and see what their preference is. And if we're going to do that, we could end up with the sidewalk being completed on the north, on the south side of Main Street, so the north side of that block, before the end of next week. So the work would begin on Tuesday and finish on Wednesday, so that everything would be open on Thursday morning. Does that sound right?
I was just saying that's amazing if that could happen.
Okay. Okay. I want to be realistic.
Yes, just to leave for what?
Okay, so does anybody have any questions? Is everybody getting updates? I know I'm getting updates on my...
Thank you.
Okay. We're trying really hard to make certain we're communicating. I've visited the site every day. One of the things that they've done out there is you'll notice that there's about 5 feet of sidewalk remaining right in front of the businesses right now, and they had the ability to take out the sidewalk all the way to the face of the building and then put down plywood, but instead of doing that, they decided to keep as much sidewalk there as possible and get rid of everything else so that people have sidewalk to walk on rather than plywood, and that's one thing they've done out there. Anyway, I would encourage you, if you haven't had an opportunity to go down and take a look and just sort of monitor the progress. If you've got any questions, please let me or Gene know, and we'll follow up. Gene will follow up with the appropriate staff. So, okay. All right. Thank you all. Working backwards, Sunday I had the pleasure of being there for the ribbon cutting for the treasure chest. That was great. That's a great service to our community. Saturday night I judged and was at the Monroe Lip Sync. That also was really cool. A lot of really great acts up there. Thursday night, I think it was the Chamber Community Awards, and we had one officer, JR, that received a 30-year award, so he's been here for 30 full years, and of course, Brad would have received his award, but he decided to be on vacation, so Thursday.
I left the country.
Yeah, he left the country. He did leave the country. Hey, also on Thursday, had a couple meetings one with a business owner, met with staff, and did a couple other things on Thursday, but I don't think there was anything else that was quite noteworthy right now. The last thing is that when I was out doorbelling for the school bond Sunday a week ago, I spoke to... That was Thursday night. I ran into and spoke with somebody from Take the Next Step. So this was Thursday night. And I have asked her if it would be okay for us to do a tour of Take the Next Step. I'm sure many of you have volunteered at Take the Next Step, but we are working on maybe a Monday at 4:30 where we can go and see it, and I will let you know when that is. We'll be inviting, if it's okay with Take the Next Step, we'll be inviting all of you and also the Chamber and also Chris from the Monitor, so that we can all see it at once and report out on it. The last thing I think is that this Thursday, so I'm going forward now, sorry. This Thursday we have a tour of Wolf Kill at 12:30 to 1:30. And I know that it's during the workday, but if you're interested in attending that, please let us know. This is part of the manufacturers where we try to go out every month to tour a manufacturer. We usually try to do it at 4:00 or 4:30 to accommodate people's schedules, but 12:30 is when they were available for this tour. Chris, you're welcome to attend, and we'll make certain the Chamber Board is invited also. So if you are able to attend, please email me. And I think that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, great. Gene? And do we have a need for an exec session?
We do not. Okay. A quick land sale update. We should have some back for council's consideration next week, so we've been working diligently on it. So. Other than that, I've got the draft agenda for May 5th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we have the swearing-in ceremony for Officer Trevor Larson. We have confirmation of salary commission appointments, and then a proclamation for Letter Carriers Food Drive Day 2015. We have the consent agenda under new business. We have approval of social media policy and discussion of 2015 comprehensive plan update. Under new business, we have discussion Main Street Gateway Project, design concept options, and the Finance Human Resources Committee will be reporting out. Any additions or deletions?
I'll reach out to the Chamber Board to let them know about the Main Street Gateway project, just in case their staff isn't aware of it. Okay.
On the long-term agenda, I've tentatively scheduled an H3O for the 19th of May. I will double-check with them tomorrow on that. And we have the lobbying services to put on here somewhere.
Okay. And note that we have a three-day weekend going into May 26th. If there is, we will be having that meeting right now. We've got a presentation from Take the Next Step. So we won't worry about what I was thinking there. And lastly, I will not be here May 19th, so Mayor Pro Tem Hanford will be facilitating that meeting.
Perfect.
Okay. So, all right.
Before you in your stack of items, there was a draft letter we put together to Snohomish County. We did recognize one error that we will update in regards to where it says Evergreen Hospital. We'll update that to Evergreen Health Monroe. And if anybody has comments or would like to include other items, that'd be great.
And Councilmember Davis, I didn't see your light until Mr. Brazel moved on to the letter, so I don't know if that was for the letter or not. But
no.
Please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I won't be here on the 12th.
Okay.
So I won't be present for the meeting or for the P4 meeting. So.
Okay. Does anybody have any additions, deletions for the memo? Okay, so is it council's desire that we go ahead and that this goes out under my signature? Is this approved?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I see head nods. We'll go ahead and we'll proceed with this with the one revision per council's direction. All right. Mm-hmm. Councilmember Gearing?
If there's nothing else, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn and from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Do we have anything else for this evening? Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Long percent. Fred Meyer.